Welcome to the PITC UK podcast with your host, Daryl Ann Ferns, and her partner in true crime, Tom Ferns. The latest episode of the PITC UK podcast has some topics that some people may find distressing or upsetting. So welcome to episode 7 of the PITC UK podcast. So, as usual, I'm Tom, and I'm joined by my partner in true crime, Daryl Ann. So what are we going to be discussing today, Daryl?
This week, we'll be discussing another unsolved case that has seemingly divided the internet.
Okay. This is something that I'm going to be able to get my teeth into.
Oh, 100%.
Okay.
As usual, I've tried to keep my information as balanced as possible to give everyone listening, you know, a fair understanding.
Okay.
And a chance to sort of come to their own conclusions.
And for me to come
you.
Come to the conclusion that there's some form of conspiracy and it's the police. Yeah, that's usually the way it goes. Well, we'll see what happens.
I've dove pretty deep into this one as well.
Okay.
There's a lot to go over, so it could be a two-parter.
Right,
we'll
okay.
We'll see how fast we get through it.
Okay.
I'm sure you're going to have a lot to say, so...
let's get cracking then and see how far we can get into it.
So this is the mysterious disappearance of Amy Bradley.
Okay. Is this a UK case or an American case?
No, this is an American victim in the Caribbean.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
So... Amy Lynn Bradley was born on the 12th of May 1974 in Petersburg, Virginia, to parents Ron and Iva Bradley. When Amy was 2 years old, her brother Brad was born. Sorry, I just have to stop because he's called Brad Bradley.
Brad Bradley, okay.
And the whole time I was researching it, I was like, that can't be his name.
Bradley Bradley.
That's, no offence, I'm so sorry, but it's just, I find it
That's
bad.
A Bradley squared.
So yeah, a brother was born and the family moved to Chesterfield County in Virginia, where the siblings formed a very close bond. By all accounts, the Bradleys were the picture of perfect American family, and growing up, Amy is described as being a fireball. She was driven and extremely focused, and this is reflected in her high school years, where she excelled at sports. She was offered multiple scholarships, but due to how close she was with her family, she decided to attend college closer to home on a basketball scholarship, eventually graduating with a degree in sports psychology. By 1998, Amy was beginning to build her life. She'd recently moved into her own apartment and was planning to start a job. Her loved ones claimed that at this time she was happy with how things were going and seemed excited for the future.
Cool. Seems like she's got her shit together and she's, you know, excelling at life, which is awesome.
Can't relate.
Yeah.
In early March 1998, Amy's parents won a 7-day Royal Caribbean cruise through the insurance company that Ron worked for. They only had 2 tickets, but decided to invite Amy and Brad to join them so that the family could spend some much-needed time together. Iva said that Amy was quite apprehensive about taking the trip at first because, despite being a former lifeguard and a strong swimmer, she had a fear of open water, which I can relate to.
Yeah.
I think you can too.
Yes.
I'm quite a strong swimmer.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't hesitate to jump in a pool.
Yeah, the sea scares
the sea
the life out of me, yeah.
However, she felt like she couldn't pass up the opportunity to sail around the Caribbean with her family. And on the 21st of March, Iva, Ron, Amy and Brad boarded the Rhapsody of the Seas before it set off from Puerto Rico. So on the 23rd of March, the ship docked in Aruba, which is a little island in the Caribbean. And I think it's owned by the Netherlands.
Right, okay.
They colonised it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Bradleys spent the day exploring the island. When they returned aboard that evening, they went for dinner, followed by a party on the upper deck, where they took part in a limbo contest, drank and had a good time. Around 1 a.m, the ship set off for Curaçao, which is another small island just off the coast of Venezuela, and Iva and Ron left the party for bed. However, Amy and Brad weren't ready to call it a night just yet and decided to attend the ship's 24-hour dance club, where the house band Blue Orchid were performing. 3 hours later, around 4 a.m, Brad arrived back at his room and settled on the balcony, where around 15 to 30 minutes later, Amy joined him. Shortly after, Brad went to bed, leaving his sister, who wasn't tired, still on the balcony to get some fresh air. At 5:30, the ship arrived in Curacao. Around this time, Ron woke up to find Amy still relaxing on the balcony. It's unclear whether she was asleep or not, but decided to leave her be until 6 a.m. However, when he went back to wake her up, she was gone. At first, Ron didn't think much of Amy's disappearance. He assumed that she'd probably got up to get some coffee or take photos from the upper deck, but after an hour passed and there was still no sign of his daughter, he started to panic. He frantically told his wife that Amy was missing and they began searching everywhere they had access to on the ship. They begged the crew not to let any of the passengers off because they couldn't find their daughter and needed to account for everyone. However, the captain stated that he didn't want to disturb his passengers by making an announcement or sealing the ship, and a few minutes later, he opened the doors to the streets of Curacao, where close to 3,000 passengers disembarked.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope I'm saying that right, Curacao.
Yeah, sounds correct. Sounds right, I don't know either. So initial things, you know, initial sort of thoughts. Could she have fell off the boat?
Mm-hmm.
Could it be that simple?
Could
it be?
Still got a long way to go yet.
Yeah. She could have just fell off the boat.
Okay. I'm going to ask you again in about 40 minutes.
Okay.
And see.
If I still say this, if I still say she could have fell off the boat in 40 minutes time, then...
this podcast will not be going out.
Yeah.
Because I've just wasted a whole day imagining something that's so simple.
Yeah. Crack on.
At 5 p.m. there was still no sign of Amy anywhere, despite the family and crew searching extensively for 11 hours. The captain even searched himself, checking every nook and cranny before coming to the conclusion that Amy was not on his ship. He suggested to the family that their daughter may have fallen overboard or even jumped to her death on purpose, but the family refused to accept this. After all, Amy was scared of the water, and in the days since they'd been on the cruise, Brad claims that his sister would not go near the rail. He also says that there is no way she was suicidal and is adamant that that's not even a possibility.
Yeah.
Another crewmate suggested to the family that Amy may have disembarked at Curacao and told them that they should probably check. So at 5:30 that evening, they apprehensively left to search the island. At this point, the Bradleys were feeling completely helpless after being left to search for their daughter alone in a foreign country and not knowing where or who to turn to. As if the situation wasn't bad enough, they were also on a time crunch, having only around 4 hours to find their daughter before the ship was about to leave for a new destination. The embassy was closed and the FBI couldn't offer any help until they were able to send agents to the island, which would take at least 24 hours. Eventually, the family made the gut-wrenching decision to stay behind.
So they didn't get back on the boat?
Didn't get back on the boat.
Right.
5 days into what should have been a dream vacation, Ivor received a call from the FBI stating that the captain had admitted that he never conducted a thorough search after all. He told the agents that he'd searched all of the common areas and restrooms, but not every nook and cranny like he'd previously assured to the family. This infuriated the Bradleys, obviously. After all, they'd made the impossible decision to leave the ship, believing that there was absolutely no sign of their daughter there. And in a panic, they jumped on a plane with the FBI to the ship's next destination, St. Thomas. So, what do we think now?
It's a bit dodgy.
Yeah,
it's a bit dodgy. You know, it's captains or, you know, even just sort of people associated with the company that run the ship will want it to be played down very quickly. You know, because obviously if they start panicking people, saying there's a girl gone missing and there's 3,000 people on board,
yeah,
they're all going to start panicking, thinking, what if it was, you know,
but
something
bad? But
if
that was your son,
yeah,
would you be like, we shouldn't try and make the captain make an announcement because we don't want to scare everyone else? You'd be like, no.
No, find my child, yeah.
I did a lot of research on cruise ships in general, and I've got, like, a few stats to go through at the end. And on one of the websites that I was on, you know, it detailed that every ship has a protocol, and like if somebody does go overboard,
yeah,
then passengers will be made aware and the ship will turn around and try and rescue the
right
passenger that goes overboard. Now this is the standard practice.
Yeah.
So what makes it so different if he's saying she might have fell overboard anyway, surely...
He should have made that call to turn the boat around, yeah.
And obviously an hour passed before the family let anybody know, so it probably would have been too late by that point, but yeah, still make a search at least. Yeah. Ask people if they've seen her.
Maybe contact, like, depending on where they were, contact the nearest island to see if anybody else could maybe go out or, you know, do something rather than nothing.
And the family believe, you know, if the captain would have been honest initially or raised the alarm to the passengers,
they would have got back on the boat.
Yeah, and Amy could have been found.
Yeah.
When they arrived at St. Thomas, the FBI performed an extensive search of the ship, and meanwhile the family and crew walked around with posters and photos of Amy, asking if they'd seen her. Suddenly, two college-age girls ran up to the family, visibly frantic and screaming that around 5:45 on the morning of Amy's disappearance, they'd seen her heading back to the dance club with a member of the ship's band, bass player Alistair Douglas. The girls claimed that they saw Amy and Alistair coming up the lift together and returning to the disco. This tip seemed to then jog Brad's memory from that night, and he told the FBI that he recalled Alistair Douglas dancing with Amy at the club, which were the videos I was watching me just when
okay.
He was like, what are you watching?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Ever creepy.
Right.
He then remembered that the next morning Douglas had bumped into him on the ship and told him, I'm sorry to hear about your sister. This was a red flag because at that point, the only people who knew that Amy was missing were the Bradleys, the crew and the security team. With this new information in mind, the FBI took Alistair Douglas in for questioning.
Yeah, that seems reasonable enough.
During questioning, Alistair took two polygraph tests, one provided by the ship's security and one provided by the FBI. Now, I couldn't find the exact results of these polygraphs. But it's reported that the FBI said there was not enough evidence to detain him. So that could either mean that he passed the polygraph or it was inconclusive.
Yeah, okay. More than likely inconclusive, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And apparently, when he was walking out of the polygraph room place, Amy's dad was sat on a bench outside and, like, this Alistair guy was, like, grinning and put two thumbs up to him.
Wow.
As if, like...
I've just got away with that situation.
And Ron, like, had to be restrained. Like, he wanted to knock his head off.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
Yeah.
On the 28th of March, 1998, the Bradleys disembarked the ship for the last time and flew back home to Virginia without their daughter. However, they refused to give up, and once they arrived back in the US, they launched a media campaign to raise awareness of their daughter's disappearance, along with a $200,000 reward for anyone with information leading to Amy's return. Despite their relentless attempts, 4 weeks passed with no new developments. On the 21st of April, Ron and Brad returned to Curacao to continue their searches with the help of local police. They handed out flyers and searched the water, boats and huts for clues. 24 hours later, a tip came in from a taxi driver who believed he saw Amy on the morning she disappeared, looking frantic, and asking where she could find a telephone. He said he'd never forget her green eyes, but unfortunately the lead went nowhere. After a week in Curacao, Brad and Ron made their way home after exhausting all leads, and while they were on a layover in Miami, they received devastating news from Iva that the local police had found the body of a brunette female and they believed it was Amy. 24 painstaking hours passed while they examined and tested the remains for the family to be eventually told that not only did they not belong to Amy, they belonged to a male. And the body that they'd found turned out to be a pelvic bone and a piece of spine only.
Right. That's a shame.
But imagine.
I know, you cheat yourself, wouldn't you?
And then to be told, oh yeah, you know, there's nothing to worry about. It's like, just been literally shit in my bed for a whole day.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like they got riled up and for nothing.
Sort of their hopes up as well of getting answers, you know.
Yeah,
I know, obviously that's not a great choice of words.
No,
but
it is though, because I've heard families say that all the time, that like...
It's a relief.
It's an end, at least.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've got answers as to where the daughter is, as to, you know, not knowing where she is.
Yeah, no, that's it.
From this point forward, the case seemed to cool off, but the family remained hopeful. They continued to return to the media, constantly attempting to bring awareness to their daughter's disappearance. In May 1999, a Canadian businessman called David Carmichael watched a segment on Amy's case and immediately called the Bradleys with information. He explained to the family that while scuba diving in Curacao, 5 months after Amy's disappearance, he saw a young girl walking down the beach with two males following her. He claimed that as soon as the girl heard him speak English, she immediately picked up pace in his direction until she was about 2 feet away. However, the men caught her and pulled her into a nearby cafe, but not before David noticed a scar on her right shin and a tattoo of a Tasmanian devil on her left shoulder blade. The family said that David's credibility is unquestionable. He was not interested in the reward money.
Right.
So he had nothing to gain from this tip.
Yeah.
And he was able to describe Amy to a T. He said that he was 100% sure it was her, confirming to her parents that she was kidnapped and under control.
Right. Again, with them ones, I'm always a little bit sceptical, especially when it's a high-profile-ish case, you know, of these, you know, and it's generally young people when they go missing. But they do get quite a lot of national coverage.
That, why would he lie about that if he wasn't actually the reward?
Yeah, yeah.
It's sort of, it's a shame, because if he genuinely did see it, then, and people have got that mindset of what people have lied in the past, so...
True, true.
You know, why should we believe you? No one would ever get found.
No, that is very true.
But I know what you mean. I'm always very sceptical when it comes to, you know, sightings and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because how, like, I could see someone's missing poster, and then I could literally bump into them on the street, like...
Five minutes later,
and I wouldn't recognise them, because I'm just not one of those people that remembers faces, but I guess some people do.
Yeah, that's it. Especially under those circumstances, if he's seen a young, you know, American-looking girl on this island,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, then all of a sudden she's getting dragged off by two males, then that is going to cause a bit, you know, that is going to stick with you in your mind. So, you know, again, you know, I guess there's no reason to doubt him.
Well, 3 months later and 17 months after Amy's disappearance, private investigator and former Special Forces agent Frank Jones came forward to the family, claiming to know that Amy was being held captive by human traffickers and forced into sex slavery. He told the Bradleys that he had information that their daughter was alive in Curacao and that he could bring her home for a fee. Willing to try absolutely anything to find Amy safe, the family accepted Jones's offer, and he and his team conducted searches and stakeouts of brothels and drug dens around the island. Not long after, Frank Jones sent the Bradleys evidence photo of a woman with a striking resemblance to Amy, standing on the beach with all of her tattoos in all of the right places. They really believed that they'd finally found their daughter, and these photos proved that she was still alive, filling them with so much hope that she would soon be home. However, Jones requested further fees in order to extract Amy, which caused the family to become suspicious, and before handing over a further $100,000, they sent security contractor Tim Buchholz to the island to monitor Frank and his team. It didn't take long for Tim to find out that Frank was never a Special Forces operator, nor was he searching for Amy Bradley. He was, in fact, a con artist who had photoshopped Amy's tattoos onto a girl whom he had posed for pictures to send to the family for money.
Yeah. It's tough.
So then you get someone like that.
Yep.
And that's all your trust is
in anyone.
Going to be gone.
Yeah.
But then, you know, if you compare that guy to David Carmichael, the first guy.
Yeah.
Completely.
He doesn't want any money.
No.
I'm just telling you, this is what I saw.
Yeah. The family paid over $200,000 of donation money to Frank Jones, who was ultimately arrested and charged with fraud in February 2002. He was sentenced to 5 years in prison and forced to repay the Bradleys every penny he had stolen. Frank Jones had robbed 2 years of the Bradleys' time and ability to find Amy, so they were back to square one. Fortunately, another lead quickly came in from a Navy officer who was stationed in Curacao. He claimed that, while in a brothel, he was approached by a girl who told him her name was Amy Bradley. She whispered that she needed help and that she couldn't get out before someone quickly motioned her to move away. The Navy officer's details of Amy were strikingly similar to David Carmichael's, this further proving her family's theory that she'd been put into sex work. However, because it took him 2 years to come forward with this information, It was too late. The brothel had already burnt down.
Wow.
So he waited so long to report it because he wasn't supposed to be in there.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's just, he could have helped, man. I feel like she's seen somebody in a uniform, potentially, if he was.
Yeah.
Wearing his uniform. Yeah. Thinking, this guy
can help me. Yeah.
As a woman, you're always told, if this happens, look for a somebody of authority.
Yeah.
And she's probably risked going up to this man in the first place,
yes,
asking for help, thinking that he would no doubt help her. And because of his own selfishness.
Yeah. If he's married or have a girlfriend or whatever it might be.
For his job, he wouldn't be allowed to be in there.
Yeah, true.
But it's sad because if that was Amy, he could have helped her.
Yeah, could have got home.
The family couldn't seem to catch a break, and 7 long and painful years passed before New Leeds emerged in September 2005. An anonymous source sent the Bradleys photos that he'd found on an adult website of a woman being advertised as an escort based in the Caribbean. The woman in these photos, whose name was Jazz, bore such a striking resemblance to Amy that Iva found them incredibly tough to look at, especially as she looked worn out and tormented. Although the wild hair and heavy makeup is noticeably different to anything Amy would have wore, it's entirely convincing that it is her and rather compelling to think about. So what we'll do is post the pictures on our Instagram.
Yes, yeah.
So that, you know, everybody can sort of have a look and come to their own conclusion.
Yeah. I think, as I say, if you're trying to hide someone, especially a woman, you know, again, this goes back to the McStay case when there was those rumours of, was it, he shaved his head? Or
what it was that they were walking, the family that they thought that the police were trying to say was the McStays walking across the border.
Yeah.
Looked like them, but the dad's, Joey's, parents said, no, Joey's got a big bushy hair. And
yeah, this guy was, didn't. Yeah.
And you were saying, oh, he might have shaved his head.
So I think with a woman especially, change the hair, change the makeup.
Well, Amy,
and it can change the way you look.
Before she went, she disappeared. She had basically no hair. She had really, really short, like a pixie cut.
Okay.
Almost.
Yeah.
Gorgeous looking girl. Very natural.
Yeah.
And this woman, and I will show you photos in a minute, on the picture, sort of, and I hate to say it, looks like my mum when she was in the 90s.
Right, okay.
So she's got like the big frizzy sort of
curly,
long hair.
Yeah.
A lot of makeup.
Right.
And it, in my opinion, it's her.
It looks like
her. I think
right,
so.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'll show you the photos in a minute.
Yeah.
So the family contacted a forensic detective, and he was able to create digital overlays of the photos. He determined that the facial structures were similar, and the cheekbone angles and eye shapes were the same. The chin angle, eyelid shape, and brow ridge matched up. The forearm length and structure was similar. They both had a unique abnormality in the midsection of their noses. The hairline is the same, and they both have multiple ear piercings. The detective told the family that he would bet his career that the girl in the photo was Amy, and immediately police began tracing the IP address from the website. But they found it difficult pinpointing the exact location, so the family again turned to the media with the new information. I want to show you these photos really quick.
Yeah, no problem at all.
So the first picture I'm going to show you, this is Amy.
Okay. Yes.
She's got, I think that she's got quite like a unique face.
Yes,
her
cheekbones
are very high and lovely and...
Yeah, she's got a very short haircut, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, this is the woman.
Wow, yeah. No, that is...
I mean, the cheekbones are exactly the same.
The face shape is the same.
The lips, the mouth.
The indent in the chin as well, sort of to the side of the chin.
Yeah, like what I've got.
Yeah, yeah.
When I
saw that is...
And I did save as well.
It's quite convincing, yeah.
A full body picture.
Okay.
And these, again. I think I mean, obviously her appearance has changed dramatically because she did have such short hair before.
Yeah, of course. But you think about it, 7 years is a long time. Mm-hmm. Things can change a lot in 7 years.
She's probably on drugs now.
Yeah, obviously if she's been in sex trafficking for that whole time, she would have been through a very traumatic experience for that full period. So again, that will have an impact on how she looks and stuff like that. So yeah, I can see it.
I think they are really just, I've never seen anything like it. I honestly do think that the it's really compelling to see them.
It does look like her.
And I remember the first time going back years and years ago when I heard of this case and seen the pictures. Like, it was one of those hair on the back of the neck moments where it's just like I knew that
it's got to be hair.
Sometimes, you know, you see people with who have disappeared, and then, you know, the family comes out saying, oh, this looks like them, and you're like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
But I feel like that is just uncanny.
No, it is. It's very, very striking. Again, we'll post the images up on our Instagram and Twitter so you can have a look for yourselves and make your own. What's the word I'm looking for?
A conclusion?
Yeah, your own conclusion, whether it is her or not.
In December 2005, yet another witness came forward claiming to have had an interaction with Amy Bradley. Judy Mora said that she was on a cruise with her husband in Barbados when they were doing a little bit of shopping at a department store. While using the restroom, Judy explained that she could hear men's voices coming from outside the toilet cubicle, and in a panic, she hid, thinking that she may be about to be robbed. She listened in on the intense conversation the men were having and heard them talking about a deal that would be taking place at 11. She alleges that one of the men said, quote, "You better be ready to go, and I'm warning you, you better cooperate." Once she heard the men leave, she exited the stall to find a distressed woman in her early 30s cowering by the sink. Judy struck up a conversation with the woman, who apparently told her that her name was Amy and that she's from Virginia, but before she could get any more information, the men began pounding on the door, which caused Judy to rush out the restroom in a hurry, passing four men who were waiting outside. Unfortunately, Judy didn't report this encounter again until she saw Amy's photo in the media, but by then it was too late. Following Judy's statement, detectives followed up on the department store lead, but no one remembered seeing Amy or the alleged abductors.
Wow. It's like something out of Hostel, this.
It's crazy.
What I'm sort of picturing in my head, anyway. Mm. I'll obviously give you my what I think later on.
We're coming up to the theories now.
Okay.
So, basically, that's where the case was up to. They're still no closer to finding her after 22 years.
Wow.
And, I mean, it's weird because there's so many tips and leads in the case.
Yeah, yeah.
For them to not have come across it yet, after having that much sort of public interaction,
I guess.
That they've still not found. And it does seem that every time they were getting close,
something stopped.
It just wasn't close anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Or it was 2 years too late.
So we'll go into the theories, and this is what might take a while.
Okay, that's fine.
So, number one, the first theory is that in this case, she simply fell or jumped overboard.
Yeah.
This is what you were saying in the beginning.
Yeah. Initial thoughts are that, you know, that's, yeah.
And, you know, it seems like the most possible.
Yeah.
You're on a ship.
Yeah.
You might be drunk. She probably was drunk.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've got some arguments for and against these theories as well, just so we can sort of get everything that we possibly can out of this discussion.
Yes.
So I went online and did some research, and according to emmacruises.com, of the 29 million guests that took a cruise in 2019, 26 of those fell overboard. And these were due to a mix of accidental and intentional factors.
Right,
so
okay.
It was either falling, jumping, or being pushed.
Okay.
So,
quite a high number, that, isn't it? Really? I know it's 26 out of 29 million. I know it's not. That is a lot, really.
You wouldn't think it, would you?
No.
You wouldn't think it. And
maybe say a handful, wouldn't you, at most?
I mean, I think it was like 25% of those 26 at that time were rescued.
Yeah.
So, you know, not everybody died and went off to live with Jack and Rose, but it's still a bit scary.
Yeah.
You never want to go on a cruise.
Yeah.
Fortunately for you.
Yeah, thank God.
Enough to fork out for.
Yeah.
So, let's talk about what could have happened in this situation if she fell.
Okay.
So, Amy was last seen by her father on the balcony. So
yeah.
This confirms that she was on the deck, just
yeah.
before she appeared.
Yeah, yeah.
She was, by all accounts, intoxicated at the time.
Yeah, because her brother said she'd seen her partying with the bass player of the band.
Yeah.
And
Making her more susceptible to accidentally falling.
Mm-hmm.
She could have been leaning over the rails to vomit.
Yeah.
And lost her balance.
Yeah.
And also something I thought of that I'd not seen discussed anywhere is that she'd probably be really tired as well. So they'd been travelling the island all day and then gone straight home, dinner, and dancing
party.
All night up until the early hours of the morning. So, you know, that could impair her even more.
Okay. Yeah.
Another thing as well is that her dad claimed that her sandals were found still on the balcony. So I was thinking that could she have maybe took her sandals off to climb over the balcony?
Potentially. Yeah.
So what from what I have seen online is the balconies are connected. Does that make sense? So like the each room's balcony is connected.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
And you can get over to the other one, but you'd have to climb around or
climb
over.
Out and then back in. Yeah.
So I think we've stayed in a few places where it's been like that. Like balcony, you can see into the other person's, but there is like a railing.
Yeah, there's a divider.
What if she was trying to maybe get into another cabin?
Maybe.
And
the bass player's
the
cabin.
Balance? Or you know, I was just thinking, like a mum and dad's cabin.
The only thing that I'd say to sort of counteract that is if she was trying to get into somebody else's, usually if you were going to do that, you'd either be underage because you wouldn't want your parents sneaking out and going into another boy's room or, you know, like another girl's room if you're a boy or, you know, or you're going in there to do something like you're going to rob them or, you know, because generally, if you're on holiday and you meet someone and you want to go back to the room, 99% of that time, you would go in via the door.
Well,
you
know,
so you wouldn't climb across a balcony. So, again, I'd find it very unlikely that she was doing that.
I mean, what if she was trying to go into a mum and dad's cabin but didn't want to wake them up by knocking on the door?
Well, yeah, but then,
I don't know.
You know, she'd climb across it. Then she's just going to wake them up by climbing in, you know, in the door.
Well, the door would have been open, I assume, because
even still, you'd
just been out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Everything that that I can think of, like, okay, this probably happened.
Mm-hmm.
There's an answer for why it probably didn't happen.
Okay. So the thing I was thinking, and it may be a theory that pops up, is so she was last seen dancing with the bass player of this group. So, if she's fallen or gone overboard, could he have killed her? Could he have pushed her over? Maybe he's made an advance.
That is obviously a theory that I'm going to go into further down.
Yeah, okay.
But it's a very strong one, I believe.
Yeah, okay.
I think that a lot of evidence points to that potentially being the case.
Okay, yeah. Do you want to carry on with what are the theories they've got, and then we'll get into
that? Yeah, so, and then obviously there was, you know, jump into her own death. But I couldn't think of any reason why she'd do this.
No, I guess, you know, it's if sandals are on the balcony, that would make it more probable because you wouldn't jump from a boat with sandals on. You'd take them off to climb up the railings because, you know, the only thing I can think is maybe she's made an advance on him, and he's knocked her back, and the mixture of alcohol, tiredness, and rejection could be enough to not, you know.
Aww.
You know, again, it's very, very unlikely.
Yeah.
But again, you know, never say never kind of situation.
I mean, her family said, you know, she'd just moved into a new apartment. She'd just bought herself a new little English bulldog puppy, which is what she'd always wanted. And it's things like that that make it seem like you know,
it'd be,
somebody
yeah.
wouldn't want to leave all that behind.
No.
But at the same time, again, you can't rationalise people who are struggling. And I couldn't find anything indicating, you know, the state of her mental health online, and anything to say that she was or wasn't having problems or depression or had any other illnesses, maybe. So, you know, you can't rule it out, I suppose.
Fair enough.
So, the railings are designed to make it difficult to suddenly fall overboard and are generally above chest height. And Amy was quite small, so it would make it even less likely, I suppose.
That she would fall over.
That she would be able to fall over. So you're probably more likely to fall than me because you're taller.
Yeah, yeah. Makes sense.
According to Brad, Amy wouldn't go near the railings.
Yeah.
Because she was scared. There, in my opinion, are too many elements and coincidences in this case to say she just fell.
Yeah.
I think.
Now, at this point as well, like, at this point of the day, was it breakfast time?
When she went missing?
Yeah.
It was around 6 a.m.
About 6 a.m. Mm-hmm. So, again, 6 a.m, depending on where you are, the sun will be coming up. There would be people probably awake at this point. And if someone falls, whether a boat's moving or not, I'm sure you'd be able to hear screams.
Definitely.
You know,
and at
I mean?
This point as well, when she had gone missing, they'd already arrived at the island. So the boat was probably coming
Static.
Up to stationary.
Yeah, all stationary. Yeah, yeah.
So
if she would have fell or been pushed, unless she was knocked unconscious before she was thrown over.
But surely you'd hear the splash. I mean, these
That's
ships
it.
Are fucking massive.
Yeah, they're huge. Yeah, yeah.
Like, wouldn't it just the sound be...
Yeah,
just...
yeah. You'd hear a big splash, I suppose, but... You know,
I couldn't even imagine it. When I was reading through comments, people were saying, like, if you fall from that height, it's supposed to be like hitting concrete, and it didn't make me feel good.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's the last sort of note that I've got here for these theories is that on that website that I was on previously looking at the stats, it said it's incredibly rare for a passenger to fall overboard. With statistics showing that the chances are in around 1 in 1.4 million.
Yeah.
Which I don't think is rare, but, you know. So number two, Amy was assaulted and murdered by a crew member.
Yes.
So, it had been reported that Amy was receiving special attention from the crew on the cruise ship in the days leading up to her disappearance. So to some, this indicates grooming.
Yeah.
She was a beautiful girl with striking green eyes, so it's not a stretch to believe that men may have been sexually attracted to her.
Right.
Also, and I don't want to, like, sort of, you know, push every region in, like, one rabbit hole thing.
Pigeonhole.
rabbit hole. That's what I was in on this case,
honestly. Yeah,
But, you know, green eyes, brunette hair... It's quite rare.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, I think that does make someone appear more instantly visibly beautiful.
I think you find as well in like most European cities as well, if you've got blonde hair, the local men have an attraction to that because they very rarely see
blonde hair. My mum's
told
me at all. Like she didn't get a look in when she went to like a European place. I'm not gonna name the place. But her two sisters who were blonde with blue eyes.
Would get a lot of look. Yeah, yeah. And that's it. It tends to happen.
Yeah. Alistair Douglas was acting suspicious, according to Brad, saying, "I'm sorry about your sister," before anyone else knew that she was missing. He was also seen by witnesses with Amy on the morning she disappeared. And again, there's video evidence of Alistair dancing with Amy.
Okay.
And they were dancing quite close.
Yeah.
And grindingly.
Yeah.
<shall we say. laughs>
Provocatively.
Yeah. So did he have some sort of attraction to Amy?
Well, yeah. I think, you know, as I was saying earlier, I think something could have gone wrong, or he could have raped and murdered her. He could have done a lot of things. But what's interesting is you say that a lot of the crew were sort of showing her attention. And this goes back to the hostile remark I made earlier.
Yeah.
And, you know, if, for example, you have crew members who work for a sex trafficking gang,
you know,
then they can, and they work on a cruise ship, they can take the pick of women or men that they want to put out onto the streets, and they get drugged and, you know, and then all of a sudden they're caught up in this world that they had no idea existed.
I mean, that's like, people, and again, I did a lot of research on sex trafficking because ignorantly of me, I didn't really know much about it. Mm-hmm. And it's something that is probably like my number one fear.
Yeah.
It just scares the life out of me because it's made out that it's this fantasy thing that doesn't happen.
And it happens
when
a lot.
When in reality, when I've looked at the statistics, it happens a lot.
Yeah, it
and
does.
It's happening probably right where we are. It's
happening, you don't even see it.
The world.
And
these big, you know, organisations that...
Gangs, basically, yeah.
...do this, you know, they will hire people to sort of...
Go to popular places and...
Scout out for girls, basically. Yeah, yeah. And then what they do is they groom them.
Yeah.
Offer them this life that they could have.
Yeah.
And it's all bullshit. They're just going to sell you to whoever would take you.
The highest bidder and off they go. Yeah.
Oh, it's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah. And that for me is probably the, as it stands now, the most likely outcome. Because again, if it's crew members, now the captain could have been on it because he was very hesitant to search the boat properly.
Yeah.
You know, or say that he, you know, searched the boat. To give the family that, don't worry, we've searched everywhere, she's likely on the island.
And you can picture it as a movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, seriously.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing, is that, you know, as people are leaving the boat, there's 3,000 people there.
Yeah.
3,000 people's... It's not a lot of people,
it isn't. It is in a small vicinity,
yeah,
though.
It is.
Just a
but, again, dock. If the staff, they may have other ways of getting off the boat. You know,
well,
so...
Well, I've got some theories as towards sex trafficking further down.
Okay.
So I will...
We will go to that.
We will go to that in a second. So David Carmichael, who was the Canadian scuba diver person from the beginning.
Okay. Not just the Canadian scuba.
I was trying to work out. I thought I put a scuba driver. And I was like, what the fuck's a scuba driver? No, it's just my eyes.
The scuba diver,
Now, this is speculation pure that I've seen on Reddit.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah, it's not an official...
Not verified whatsoever. Yeah. It's probably some little punk in his mum's basement just, like, making up shit. But I thought I'd put it in anyways.
Okay.
Just, you know...
Why not?
Because... And he claimed that... When he seen Amy on the beach being followed by the two men, that one of the men was Alistair Douglas.
Right.
And his daughter apparently also alleged that her dad was obsessed with Amy and had pictures of her.
Whoa.
So this is the basis, guy.
Okay.
It's fucking so weird. Now again, I've not seen anything factual to back this up.
Right.
It's never been investigated by the FBI.
Okay.
So,
yeah, take that with a pinch of salt.
Definitely, but still, you know, I could see that being the case.
Yeah. Well, again, you know, it's... I don't want to say the word pimp, but generally the girls that work in this industry or get forced into this industry...
They are pimps?
They are.
They are.
You know.
I think the actual correct term for them is a lover boy.
Right.
So they're the people that sort of recruit the women.
The women, yeah. And they sort of, if you see a prostitute on the street, their lover boy or pimp will not be far behind.
Mm-hmm.
So they will notice every girl that goes off that street, which car they get into, you know, who they are. And, you know, if anything goes down or they don't get paid, they know where to find you.
Yeah.
And they'll do whatever they need to get the money out of you.
It's so scary.
Yeah.
And then I would just add a thought. Was Amy sexually assaulted or raped by a crew member? Or Alistair Douglas? Or a bit of both?
Or more? Or a lot more? Yeah.
She'd been drinking, so she will have been incapacitated. But she could have even been spiked.
Yeah.
And this is something that I hadn't come across online as a theory.
Well, the one thing I will say is, what's the one thing, whether it's sandals or not, What's the one thing women do when they're drunk?
Take off the shoes.
Take off the shoes. So she may have very well just decided to put her shoes there and just not put them back on and go off and do whatever she wants to do.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
Because it's not like she was walking off the boat. She was walking on a wooded boat, you know, with probably nice floors. So she wouldn't have...
A lot of the stuff, like where she was going, was inside. So it will have been carpeted.
Carpeted or wood floor or tiles or whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So she's got no risk of hurting her feet. So it could be that, you know, come to my room at 6 a.m. Taken by surprise.
Definitely. And she could have been spiked. This guy obviously was part of the crew.
Yeah.
In a way, he was with the house band.
Yeah. Yeah.
He could have had the means to slip something in a drink.
100%.
So I actually did some digging, again, on sexual assaults on cruise ships and was surprised to learn that according to data by the US government, that of 92 crimes reported on board cruise liners in 2016, 62 of them were sex-related. So that's 70% of all crimes.
Wow.
Are sex-related. Mostly by crew.
Wow.
Plus, sexual assaults and rapes generally go unreported, so in reality the numbers are
higher. Yeah, it could be a lot more.
Experts point out that these types of crimes are usually miscategorised by security at lesser crimes in order to stay in business.
Makes sense, yeah.
So the reason that they're so common is because, like you were saying before, there's no immediate laws on cruise ships because you're in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, there's
nobody
no law.
Has jurisdiction yeah. of that apart yeah. from the security that are hired by the crews.
Yeah.
And obviously they're going to be quite biased.
Of course.
They're not going to be
impartial.
They're
paid by the company.
Exactly.
To, yeah, yeah.
Also, different countries have different laws and investigative styles, and sex crimes still aren't taken seriously in a lot of places.
Yeah.
There's no law enforcement on board, and passengers tend to be more relaxed on cruise ships and holidays and forget to remain vigilant, which is absolutely something that I can say has happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, you get so drunk when you're on holiday that you think, it's fine, I'll just...
Go and...
I'll go in the sea at 4 o'clock in the morning, intensely intoxicated.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not going to drown.
Yeah, yeah.
You
make stupid decisions, yeah.
So there's no evidence, as far as we're aware, that anything went down on the ship. No mm-hmm. witnesses saw anything, no blood was found, and we have nothing but hearsay and circumstantial evidence to point in the direction that she was sexually assaulted and then murdered.
Okay.
People believe that it's not suspicious that Alistair Douglas seemed to know about Amy's disappearance, arguing that witnesses claim that Ivor was so hysterical that the word spread pretty quickly among passengers and crew, which is fair enough.
Yeah, yeah.
But I suppose on a ship, that's got to be, you know, one of the easiest ways to dispose of a body. You can literally just...
Dump it over the side of the boat.
Yeah.
Nice and easy.
And leave no trace behind.
Yep.
So number three, I'm not going to go too much into this one because it's ridiculous, but there's a lot of speculation online that Amy was killed by her family.
Very strange.
You might
no
want
reason to
put your tinfoil hat on.
Yeah, I'm good.
So people believe that her dad raised the alarm too soon. Because she'd only been missing for an hour before he went hysterical and crazy. But the way I see it is that if he would have left it 5 hours, then people would be arguing that, oh, he didn't report it.
For 5 hours,
and then
yeah,
you just can't win, and I think it's just...
Well, again, though, like, the close proximity of the boat, I imagine that you'd be able to search, you know, where she would be within quite a short period of time.
Exactly, and the thing is that, like, if he's, you know, he knows his daughter... This is a thing that I think people don't get, is that you have, as a parent, whether you're the mum or the dad, you have a feeling that something's wrong when something's wrong.
Well, the thing is as well, is that he may not have gone to the staff and said, oh my God, my daughter's missing.
Yeah.
He may have just gone, I can't seem to find my daughter. Mm-hmm. I saw her in a room an hour ago. Is there any chance you can speak, you know, try and
I
get
mean,
an
probably
answer?
Did.
And that's probably what it was, you know, and that's the thing, is that...
People just assume that he was running around like a crazy person,
exactly.
Like waving his arms and...
That's it. You know, he could have just gone, you know, I can't find her. Would you to get off the boat? And I'm just concerned because a lot of people are going to be getting off this boat in a minute. So I just want to be sure that we know where she is before we go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the thing, is that it's dramatised in that way to, again, fit these tinfoil hat wearers, you know, conspiracy theories.
Reddit's full of them.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
And it's been said that apparently the family had Amy declared dead a year later in order to collect life insurance. So she has, in fact, been since declared dead,
yep.
Which is a bit weird.
Okay.
Because, you know, she's never been found.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're still actively searching for them...
Yeah, it is strange, that.
But there was no evidence to suggest that money was the motive, if that was the case anyways. Maybe they just wanted some closure.
Yeah, maybe.
So again, why would Ron have gone to the lengths that he had in order to find his daughter, trying to convince the public that she'd been abducted? Wouldn't it make more sense for him to go along with the theory that she fell overboard? If he had killed her, wouldn't he just be like, I think Amy's fell overboard? You wouldn't spend time, money on this big elaborate search of this island when you could literally just say, I think she fell overboard.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's it.
It's just, people just don't even think about how silly it sounds. And quite similar to this theory is people have questioned whether her dad's company may have been involved in a conspiracy to abduct and sell Amy into slavery.
Makes no sense.
So, the family won the holiday.
Of course they did, yeah.
And people have got this thing that, like, you know, sex trafficking, it goes to the highest of the high people, like, they're at the top of it all.
Yeah.
Which...
Yeah, I get it.
I don't disagree with, like, things are fishy.
Yeah.
And this company could have been one of them. But again, it's just so far-fetched. And these...
Yeah.
I'm just not going to even go...
I personally, yeah. I think it's not even worth talking about, to be honest.
Number 4, Amy was kidnapped by human traffickers and forced into the sex trade. So this is the one that you're leaning towards.
It sounds mostly, like the most probable... version of events.
So while I was reading comments and opinions on this case, I came across a lot of people that were describing the likelihood of human trafficking as far-fetched and like more of a Hollywood conspiracy theory. But actually, evidence proves that it's more common than we believe, just like I was saying before. I wanted to share some stats which I found online about human trafficking and modern slavery to further understand why this is a possible theory.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2016, an estimated 40.3 million people worldwide were forced into modern slavery.
Jeez.
24.9 million of these were forced labour, and of the 24.9 million, 4.8 million of these were victims of sexual exploitation.
Jeez.
One in four of these are children, which is terrifying.
Yeah.
And a whopping 99% of those forced into prostitution are girls and women. According to unseenuk.org, human trafficking earns a global profit roughly $150 billion a year.
Jesus.
And $99 billion of this comes from commercial sexual exploitation, making sex slavery one of the most profitable, profitable amongst any other industry in the world. And you wonder why, if you do put your tinfoil hat on and you think the governments are in on it,
that's why.
This is why.
Yeah.
They reported that while traffickers generally target more socially vulnerable victims, for example, people living in poverty, drug addicts, minorities, or victims of abuse who may be easier to manipulate, anyone can still fall victim.
Yeah,
so you're never safe.
Yeah.
It's reported by Homeland Security that motels, hotels, theme parks, sporting events and cruise ships are the most common places in which human trafficking often occurs. And I just find it mad that cruise ships is on there because I would have never thunk it.
Well, again, you're going to different places, you're meeting different people who you think you can trust. And again, you think when you go to a hotel, to a cruise ship, to... a caravan park, you know, wherever it might be, the group of people that you think you can trust the most are the staff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes they're the shadiest characters.
So let's get into why human and sex trafficking is a big theory in this case. So,
mm-hmm.
Obviously, the taxi driver allegedly saw Amy after the ship docked on the island, and she was looking frantic and asking for a phone.
Yeah.
So this could indicate that she'd maybe managed to escape her abductors for a little bit
and
was trying to get help.
Yep.
David Carmichael's account of witnessing her on the beach being followed by two men.
Yep.
The Navy officer's account of being approached by Amy asking for help in the brothel. I'm still in a mood with him about that.
Yeah.
The photo of Jazz, the escort, is chilling.
Yeah, very.
And
very.
The forensic detective is convinced it's her. And if I'm going to believe anyone, then, you know, I'm probably going to believe a forensic detective whose job it is to sort of study that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Judy's account of her encounter with the woman in a restroom in Barbados. And as of 2019, the FBI was still creating aid progressions of Amy and offering a $25,000 reward for the information leading to her or the identification, arrest, and conviction of the persons responsible for her disappearance.
Right.
So clearly the FBI believed that someone took her.
Right, okay.
Why would they still be putting so much effort into finding her if they believed she wasn't kidnapped?
No, that's it.
Do they know something that hasn't been released in the public?
Maybe. It's one of them, isn't it? It's so tough that it's... You know, I believe that's the most probable explanation.
So do I. And whenever people bring up sex trafficking in other cases, I'm like, it just doesn't sound right. But in this, I think just too many variables point to it. It's just it's just a bit weird. And again, on the other side of the fence, there's no concrete evidence. There's no DNA to say that any of these are actually Amy. It's pure speculation and the word of others who could have ulterior motives.
Of course.
At the time of her apparent abduction, Amy was 23, which would make her 31 during her supposed interaction with Judy Mora. Many people believe that someone of this age would be a liability to traffickers. However, in my research, I was able to find data that suggests that half of all human trafficking victims are aged between 19 and 33. So this could explain why there hasn't been any sightings of Amy since this last sighting, because she was 31 at the time. She will have been getting too old to do the job anymore. Nobody would want her. But then she could have either been murdered.
That's it.
Once she was no longer needed, she could have been sold off to someone else. And I was just reading up again then on baby farming. That's a real thing too. And what basically they take women and just make them have loads of babies, which they sell.
Yeah.
She could have been used for that.
She could have been.
You know, you just never know. And Amy was a white, middle to upper class woman who was aboard the ship with a family who clearly cared for and loved her. She's not exactly the ideal victim of traffickers, because it would have been evident that her family would do anything to find her, which is
what
they usually go for.
Yeah.
But again, anyone can be a victim.
That's it.
And unless the majority or all of the crew on board were in on the conspiracy, how would they have got her off the ship? We sort of discussed this before. And I believe, like you, that she was drugged and maybe put into a suitcase and rolled off the ship.
Yeah.
Never to be seen again.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. It'd be very, very interesting to see what our listeners think. So, you know, please drop us some messages on social media. Yeah, cool. So thanks again for listening. We hope you've enjoyed the episode. I know I've really enjoyed today's talk. And we'll see you on the next one.